All right. Well, welcome everyone. How's getting all ready for the dry weather to show up? I hear it's going to be dry next week too. But the weather will, after Tuesday, be a little more temperate. All right. Well, let's see here. Let me get over to 1 Peter. Turn with me to 1 Peter, working through chapter 3, and I'll read verse 7 this morning as we look through there. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers not be hindered. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you again for your blessings. Thank you for those that are here today. And Father, I do pray for those that are online and those that will be coming after a bit for the morning service. And Father, I pray that as we delve into your word this morning, that our hearts are open, ready to learn what you'd have us to learn, such that we can glorify you in all that we do. And may the lesson be one that glorifies you as well, and may it honor you and show forth the importance that you show in this line of lessons that we have dealing with submission. And Father, I do pray that you just guide and direct, have your will and your way with this lesson. And we ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, as promised, ladies are off the hook for a while. Guys, we're going to pick on you for a bit. Actually, it starts out here just like in verse 1. It says, likewise. And it's kind of interesting. I sit there and you say, well, you know, what's likewise? Well, in the same manner. And when we started out, it was just after we talked about Christ's submission. And Peter's saying, you know, in like manner, in the same manner, you know, ye wives be in subjection to your own husbands. Well, here, it's likewise ye husbands dwell with them according to the knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as to the weaker vessel. And here, you know, when they started out, it was talking about a wife being a testimony to the husband, and the husband being presumed unsaved, is I guess how Peter's putting it, or maybe he's just not walking with the Lord as he should. Well, here, he presents it such that the husband, the head of the household, he and his wife are saved. And so as we look at this, he's giving the husband some direction and understanding. And one of the questions from the book says, how can a husband learn about his wife? Because it says in verse 7 that we're to dwell with them according to knowledge. Anybody got a... Miss Lynn? Pay attention. Yes. Yeah. You didn't think you were going to be required to pay attention, did you, Charlie? Well, that's true. Men, we have to pay attention. They're very subtle things. And subtle means listen and pay attention very carefully, because there's some unwritten and unspoken things that come out. Any other thoughts on... being observant? Yes. You know,
I'm going to say communicate.
Communicate. Yes. You know, along with that, you know, Pastor is going to be doing an overview of the last lesson on Wednesday. Well, I'm going to do an overview too, but mine's dealing with seven words that build a marriage. So it'll encompass all of this. And you know, I may introduce it a little bit here. But so any other thoughts and views with, you know, how can you learn about your wife? I mean, I've been married close to 54 years. And my wife sometimes enjoys the shopping that I do for her. Pastor?
Well, don't forget to pray. God knows better than
we do. Exactly. We need, when we're praying... And that makes a marriage, not to preclude, but when you think about a marriage, a thought comes up as a three-chord in Ecclesiastes, you can't break it. You know, husband, wife, and God. You know, and if God's not involved in that marriage, not the leading part of that marriage, not that a marriage is going to fail, but the marriage will be that much better. And I'm so thankful that early in our marriage life, we came to know the Lord. And although as we were growing, we didn't fully understand where God was placed in that, we did understand it, and it looks there. Any other thoughts with that? You know, we talked about communications. One of those is asking what her views are on some things. You know, share that thought process. Don't be the one who goes, I'm head of the household, and you're going to do as I say. Well, I'm making all the decisions here. Well, sometimes the wife will go, okay, fine, go ahead and make a decision. After you make the decision, then we'll sit down and discuss where you failed. Not always, but sometimes that's what has to happen. Paying attention to how the wife acts, because those unspoken communications, we've talked about those, being observant. You know, that is so very important in that. In fact, I don't know if you read through the case study, but it starts out with a couple going to bed with differing situation, you know, something about not letting the sun go down on your wrath. So it's very important. And it understands it. And there are times when, men, we need to watch our wives and see how she, what her actions are based on different situations. Because we just can't say, well, you know, I told her I loved her once. Why do I got to tell her every day, you know? She knows I love her. Yeah, right. She's forgiven. You know, so those kind of, you know, you can kind of make jokes about that, but still it's very important. Communication, observation, compassion, realizing that you as a man may be making a decision that maybe she doesn't fully understand and agree with, and need to listen to that. Maybe there's a reason why it's concerning. I can only imagine what Sarah was saying to Abraham, and he says, you know, we're going to pick up and we're going to go. Where are you going? I don't know. I'm just going. And she's probably going to say, okay, we'll see where this leads. You can probably come up with a whole series of scenarios and things of what Sarah probably said. I mean, when the angels visited, what did she do? She giggled about some things because she was old and being told, well, you're going to have a child, or heard that they were going to have a child. And she kind of giggled about that. God listens. God knows our hearts. God knows all of our situation better than we can even begin to think. And so we need to make it very, very important. And it, you know, we're... men are in a position where we're submissive to God. We're also, in a sense, submissive to our wives in a sense of listening carefully, understanding, and just to make that marriage proper. It's, you know, kind of a thought comes together of, you know, two come together to make one, and with all the understanding kind of fills all those little voids around a marriage to make it solid, to make it a very useful marriage. And so it's interesting here, Peter's instructed all Christians to submit themselves to every ordinance of man in verse 1 Peter 2:13, and then in verse 2:18, he warns servants to be subject to their masters. And of course in 3:1, he tells wives to be subject to their husbands. And, you know, he's turning to the men at this point of saying, in the same manner, guys, you need to realize there's a certain amount of subjection that you have, submission that you need to do. And, you know, Peter here says that he addressed the general submission to authority of all Christians and to the wife to the unsaved husband, but, and in the marriage relationship, but the husbands, just as the wives, have their position to maintain in the social family structure that the Lord has set up. So men realize that God has placed him in that position for the responsibility, but not all of the decision-making. It may fall down to the point where he needs to make a decision, and he's making a decision understanding the needs of his wife and family. And it's so very important. And then, you know, dwelling with them in knowledge. And we mentioned it about recognizing some facts about their wives. You know, I could probably stand up there and go, okay, how many husbands here know what their wives' dress size is? How many of you know what her dress style is, for instance? Could be interesting. Maybe we'll have a little competition. See? Ooh. It's... Yeah. Now, I didn't mean to start a big... But really, when you think about that, you know, how many of you know what your wife's favorite meal is? The favorite dish. You know, it's like, well, she always fixes meat and potatoes. Nothing but meat and potatoes. Well, maybe she doesn't always like meat and potatoes. Maybe she likes a salad. Maybe, you know, it's amazing. But that we guys sometimes get this thought process going. I can imagine just what's going on. I'm glad a microphone's not out there catching these other conversations. But really, when we think about that as husbands, we need to really understand our wives. And to, you know, and our wives understand us far better than we give credit for. They are the observant ones. Isn't that right, ladies? You understand their husbands. But it's so very important in a marriage that both of us are to be observant, to realize that, to know that what needs are there. Because there's like we said, observant, knowing that there's sometimes something being unsaid that's really being said very loudly, and it needs to be accomplished. And so with that, God, and we talked, and we're going to talk a little bit more about giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And God designed women to be helpers. They didn't design women to be equal with men on a physical level. Doesn't mean that there are not women out there that are just as physical. I think Pastor mentioned the other day about, the woman's bench press was like 500 and some pounds, and the men's was like almost double. And now we got, you know, this, I'm identifying as a woman, so I'm going to go compete with him. You know, I saw a great caption that dealt with that. Weak men decide that they want to compete against women. That's what it comes down to. Sure. And there's always a good time of competition. When it's friendly competition, but not one to go out there and just show you I can beat you at anything there is, and sadly, I actually listened to a sermon one time Jack Hiles had years and years ago, and he says, I will never let a woman beat me, and if she does, I will practice until I can beat her, and it was just made in jest, but still it was showing that. There are times when, you know, men make it to a statement like that that is, well, one, absurd, knowing full well that in equal competition, the reason God made men stronger was to deal with the physical, the work. Because in the Garden of Eden, man was required to work, but after the fall, the work became, I won't say drudgery, but the work became harder. And then when it talked about childbearing, before the fall, I'm curious how childbearing was. After the fall, we know how childbearing is. It's not the easiest thing in the world. It's, you know.
And we can do better than
that. Exactly. And now we have people that have transitioned that got pregnant. And I'm a man. I got no. The DNA stayed the same. I don't care what you did. The DNA is still the same. God created men and women differently for that purpose. To honor the wife means that the husband's to make her feel like she is someone very special. Because she is. God created her. God gave women to men as a gift. And that's what it comes down to. Something very special. God thought enough about his creation, of his creation that was made in the image of him, that he needed to give them help. When he created the animals, he created male and female. They were already taken care of because they had a specific position. Provide us food, provide us comfort as far as being able to help us with the work in that sense. But he came along and said, I've created all these animals. They've got mates, but man doesn't. So God gave us that special gift of the wives. And it says, as we note, Christian husbands are to regard wives as a precious, giving them honor, thus showing their wives that they value them. And it's sad when we take advantage of that situation as men. It's sad that oftentimes we forget to thank our wives for how they help us. And that's so very important. I get to tease my wife a lot. When it comes around those special days, she says, don't get me a card. Don't get me anything special on those days. Really what she's saying is, if you get one, don't make a big deal out of it, is what she's trying to do. That's my wife. I don't know how the rest of them are. Some, walk around pouting. You didn't get me a gift for that. You didn't give me a gift for that. But it's so wonderful that when a couple is together, that things are not expected. Things happen as a couple. And it's nice to be able to honor them because they are precious. I mean, I don't know what I'd do if I didn't have my wife. First off, I wouldn't invite anybody to my house. we were fortunate. We had a couple visit us he was a shipmate on the first ship with me. And he was letting people know, I served with this guy 50 years ago. We're all, and of course, the waitress that we happened to be with looked and goes, well, yeah, you kind of look like you're in that realm. But I started thinking my military career was over 50 years ago. And a lot of things transpired. And it was exciting to see that he married basically his high school sweetheart, and they just celebrated 47 years. And to see that and to see families or couples that love each other and want to make the best as couples together. And 1 Thessalonians 4:4 says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Our wives are that weaker vessel. We're protecting it so she doesn't break and fall. And like I said, I don't know what I would do without my wife because she completes me, is what it comes down to. I'm sure that I could figure out how to live without her, but I wouldn't want that. I mean, well, I've known her since the second grade. So let's see, that would make, well over 60 years that I've known her. As a friend. So, our life is bound together. And as it talks here of, in verse 7, giving honor unto the wife as the weaker vessel and as being heirs together in the grace of life. This is where really a couple, a husband and wife, really get to glorify God. When they know the Lord, their marriage is founded around the Lord. And here it says his life is bound together with hers in a covenant before God. When they get married, people don't even think about the vows that they make. And we're making a promise before God that we'll love, honor, cherish. And it's a commitment for life. And some people today don't think that. I'm tired of them. Let's get rid of them. And that's what the world says. The world says, well, don't even make those commitments. Just, live together. Do this. Do everything counter to what God has laid out. The marriage was the first institution that God ordained. And he laid that out for us. And so, kind of a redundant question, we've already talked about it. This is, but what can a husband do to honor his wife? You know, I mean, I'd love to be able to just be able to put my wife on a pedestal all the time. But then again, she would be there and she would expect it. Well, I don't think my wife expects that. I don't think any of the wives expect that. But it's important that we treat our wives as that precious jewel, one that is not going to break very easily, but one that could break very easily if we don't protect, if we don't treat them right. You know, a husband can honor his wife by taking time to listen to her concerns. And there are times, husbands that don't. And I've met folks like that, and I cringe. You know, I don't dare interfere with that because it's not my position. That's how they live their lives. Some couples do that. They live completely separate lives from each other. They only come together to maybe have a meal, or they go somewhere. The rest of the time, they're in separate parts of the house or do separate things. I have a hard time being away from my wife because I spent so many years away from her. And, you know, maybe that's why. When I take vacations, I enjoy taking a vacation with her, spending time with her. And we kind of laugh. If I go do something without her, I come home, I miss being with her. And it's we kind of make a joke out of it. Oh, I missed you so much. I don't know what I'd do. You know, on and on and on. But that's just how we are. So how frequent should the demonstrations of honor be? How often should you say you love your wife? How often should you, you know, show that you appreciate what she's done?
Daily.
Yeah. It's kind of like the Lord's Supper. How often you do it? You know, do it in remembrance. But as often as you do it with the honor. You know, it's like the joke I made earlier. I told her I loved her when we got married. Why do I have to tell her every day? You know, that, and some people have that thought. You know, so it's very important for us to understand that a husband and wife, they're heirs together in the grace of life. And we indicate that both husband and wife here, Peter's talking about them being Christians. I think the book talks about that. A husband should recognize that there exists between him and his wife a common spiritual bond, as well as an emotional, physical ties. And it's, you know, knowing that we both have that gift of eternal life. And true, in heaven, we're not going to be married. I would like to think God allows us to have the memories when we were married. I don't know, you know, especially if it glorifies God. You know, I think of couples that are Christians that live for the Lord, that glorify the Lord in their marriage and like to do things together. I don't know how some people feel, but that's what, you know, I've grown to understand and love, that the marriage is that, to glorify God. And so when you think about that, it's a total equality in the privilege of our relationship with God. God sees husbands and wives, men and women, as equals before God. No one's greater than the other. Some may have a better knowledge and a better grasp of the gospel, and thankfully, when they do, they share a prayer time together, a study time together. And, you know, there's times when we might not spend as much time as we should in prayer together, but we know that when we do, it's honoring to God. And God shows that back in helping, you know, and we actually become closer, you know. They make all sorts of jokes about families that do things together, stay together. Well, I think when a husband and wife pray together, it solidifies that marriage that much more. You know, and knowing that my wife knows the Lord is her Savior, I know where she's going to be when she dies. And I'm thankful that she, well, at least hope, realizes that on my part, that I know and love the Lord and have him as my Savior, that we'll be serving the Lord in heaven together. And that's a joy. And I think if couples don't fully understand that and don't rejoice in that on a regular basis, then there's something missing in that marriage. And it says, two are joint heirs sharing a common blessing of Christ. And that's what it really boils down to, that, you know, in the first little segment of this is that, you know, a proper relationship to his wife. And then the second portion talks about the results of failing to heed that instruction. And that's where verse 7 comes in, at the very last of this, in that your prayers be not hindered. And this is probably the saddest thing that can go on, is failure on husband's part to display an understanding of his wife and to omit special protection and tenderness to being a weaker vessel will hinder or interrupt the prayer life. Now, and that's something to really weigh on us as men, to think that if I'm not showing the proper respect for my wife that God expects, my prayer life is going to be hindered. And maybe that's an opportunity for us to look inward and say, am I forgetting to do something that I should be doing? Should I be, you know, saying I love her a little more, showing her some respect, asking her opinion a little bit more often? You know, it's evident that we can realize that, you know, we're heirs together and to be expected prayer partners. Well, maybe there's times when you don't pray together, and you might see that. I know that that's happened to me in the past, not spending the time that I should in prayer with my wife, or, you know, maybe we've been separated and realize that, hey, we need to get on the phone and maybe have some prayer time together. And I know the times that we were separated, you know, we didn't have the luxury of a cell phone. We had the luxury of a 30-word message that got sent out that she could send me, but I could never send back to her. The message traffic was one way, and which saddened that, because here she was giving me the information in anticipation that she knew that when I received it that I'd be praying for her. And it's very difficult in that situation because you don't know. We used to laugh on the ship. There are some people that their wives never sent them those 30 words. You know, they only got eight of those messages to send out. And so some of our radio men were very aware of that. So they actually had a little envelope outside. It says, pick a family gram. You could reach in there, and they would just pull some generic ones off the wire with no names or anything attached to them, because when they came in, it was to so-and-so, so they would admit them. And so if a guy came by and was really feeling a bad day, he could reach in there and, you know, kind of like fortune cookie, so to speak, and read that and get a little bit of an uplift. And some of them were pretty funny. Some of them were, in fact, we had one radio man, he compiled a whole bunch of them for patrol, the different ones that he found, and, you know, he made a book out of it, you know, different chapters of different types, you know, different ways wives would say, well, sweetheart, when you get home, we'll have a new addition. Or, you know, and then saying, oh, well, we bought a dog. I wasn't pregnant while you were gone. You know, those kinds of, or, you know, little things like that, but they were very uplifting. And it's so very important. And so here we realize, the next question that comes up is what does the consequences of a husband's failure to honor his wife tell you about how important the command is? God's serious about this. He says, if you're not showing the honor to your wife, he says, I'm not going to hear your prayers. That to me is devastating, to know that if I'm not being the way I should be toward my wife and my family, God will not listen to me. And I know there's people out there that are seeing that in their lives. Husbands need to pay attention to this very, very carefully. You know, as head of households, we need to understand that when we pray, we need to pray with that, how can I take care of my family? How do I honor my wife? Lord, maybe show me a clearer way so that I can understand what some of her needs are. Because way too often, and men, we're guilty of it, we're oblivious to what goes on. Sometimes we need to be hit real hard with things. Who knows what it could be? You really don't realize. But God sees marriage as very important. He sees that as he goes through there. We see all sorts of demonstrations. I mean, in verse 6, they showed Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and whose daughters were whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement, that they showed respect to their husbands, and Abraham showed respect to his wife. And we know there were several instances when he and his wife talked. He said, "You're a very nice-looking woman to look on, and somebody's going to want you." And just the way how people treated men and women in those days, that, yeah, if I want that woman and I'm a king, I'm just going to take her. I don't care what happens. And so they tried to set things up, and there was a certain amount of respect for the, I guess, the family. And, you know, they had to not really outwardly lie, but to stretch the truth a little bit so that there wouldn't be something that happened. And in instances, God stepped in and gave the one king a little vision and says, you've taken a man's wife. That's not right. It's like, ooh. And he realized that and went to Abraham about it. And he thought, you might kill me, and then you'd take her, type thing. And he's, no, I got more respect than that, is what he basically said. But God honors the marriage in such a way that if we're not willing to spend the right amount of time understanding our wives, then we're not going to succeed very well. Our prayers are going to be hindered. And when the husband and wife fall into their responsibilities to each other, they'll cause far-reaching consequences. Marriages will be stronger. Family lives, certain things that would ruin another marriage won't show up in some of those marriages. Not to say that they might not, but to realize that when the Lord is involved in our lives, less stress comes along. Or when stress does, they're able to handle it. Not as an individual, but as a couple. And the role is such that they need to embrace the roles to realize those blessings. And one of the things that comes along with this is marriage roles, consequences to failing to submit. And I can only imagine, what are consequences of a couple's failure to carry out their God-given roles? Something to think about. Any ideas what some of the failures would be? Lynn? It'll affect the children. And that's the one thing that oftentimes husbands and wives don't realize, that if the children hear them fighting a lot or arguing or maybe not having a good presentation, not to act differently in front of them, but they can see tension. Children can see it, and they can realize that. And, that's adversely affects children. And, of course, if we look straight away, it fails to glorify God in the result. And then, along with that, adversely affect their children and disrupts their relationships with God when it comes up there. Praying together makes things a whole lot better. And if there's a concern, if maybe they disagree on something and they separate for a bit, maybe they pray about it and then come back together and realize that God gave them insight on both sides to help them out. Let's see if there's anything else. Yeah, we got more, type the text there. But the other question is, how are some of the blessings of a couple carried out in their God-given role? What can be exposed, show there? Some of the blessings that we have in those roles. Fruits of the Spirit. We're going to see that. We're going to, Brother Charles? Closer to God, yes. You know, and, you know, looking through those, you know, shows Christ in their lives so that the fruits of the Spirit will follow through. They encourages their children. A lot of us, some children think, well, I was forced to go to church as a child, so I don't really want to. No, it's when you show the right respect going there, the child will realize, that's important in my parents' life. I want that kind of importance in my life. And, there, you know, some of them, they'll rebel over that. The couple maintains open communication with God through that prayer life. Makes it so very important. And, of course, typing text there. but it's so very important that there are some blessings, but God does give warnings that if we're not, man, if we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, we will be hindering, our prayer life will be hindered, which is going to affect the family. It's going to affect our attitude about things. And as a result, you know, through submission, you know, it's the wife is given a role, the husband's given the role, we're given the role together that we work as a team, husband and wife. And it's not a singular thing. Like we said, you know, when God's involved, that's that third cord in there that's not easily broken. In fact, it's not broken because God will be involved in it. And the realization that that our lives are to glorify God as we do things. A marriage that honors God in every way just thrills God. And when we're not doing what we're supposed to do, we end up grieving the Spirit. And that's the real downfall of not having a marriage centered on God. And like I said, you know, there's some questions I think come up in the book. It says, you know, how will behaving properly a husband and wife help us handle the trials in our lives? Some food for thought. It says, have you found an unsettling marriage made the trials in your life much more difficult to bear? Maybe we've allowed things in our lives that caused us to maybe separate ourselves from God for a bit, which is not right. Those trials sometimes will make it stronger in our lives, especially when a husband and wife approach it together. And that's so very important. And like I say, next week I want to kind of go over this, but with those seven words of communication for a marriage, that it comes from these verses here, and it's so very important. We've already talked about a lot of them, but there's some examples in there, and if we listen to them, do them carefully, our marriages will be stronger. And I know here we have strong marriages because they're founded on the Lord Jesus Christ. They have God centered in our lives, and it's so very important. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your blessings. We thank you for giving us wisdom and direction. And as men, Father, we're so thankful that when we're focused on you, it helps us in our married life. It allows us to honor our wives the way we should and to show them that due respect and to treat them as that precious jewel. And Father, we're so thankful for marriages that are founded in that manner. And Father, I'm thankful that it extends even to, as a church family, that there's that mutual respect across as brothers and sisters in Christ, and what you show us, how to glorify you in our worship toward you, as our marriages are showing respect and glorifying you and them as well. And Father, we do thank you again for all of this, and we do ask it in Jesus' precious name.